Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green at SaveYourLife.com, and I hope you've been outside enjoying this mild weather. I was out looking for the beaver, which hasn't shown its face. I assume it's in its lodge along the Genesee River near 390, but I haven't seen it. And I've been trying to figure out whether it's been doing some additional gnawing work on one of the trees, and it's hard to tell. So, but it's an easy walk from the tennis courts at Genesee Valley Park along the Riverway Trail toward heading south, and it's a couple hundred feet beyond the 390 overpass over that Riverway Trail. Amazingly close to a lot of noise from 390, actually, given there's some much quieter parts of the river, even in that section between Genesee, or between the canal, which is right there as well, and then Jefferson Road. But it decided that the best spot was right near the canal and 390. Also went on a tour of Highland Park yesterday in search of what might be in bloom. And there are dandelions in bloom, a few of those. But I was hoping to find some English daisies that might have popped up. No sign of them. I think, looking back on the last month, 6 weeks, we just haven't had any sun. So it's been mild, but I think the sun, even though it's low in the sky still, it warms the ground substantially. And other than a glimmer of sunshine here and there, I mean, when it comes out for 5 minutes, go to the window and then head outside because it's so strange to see. So, even though it is mild, I'm guessing that the lack of sun has limited some of these, occasional early blooms. But I did see about probably 10 dandelions in bloom, which is odd for January. Also, a couple of weeds. There's wintercress, or also called hairy bittercress, although it doesn't look very hairy, so I got to take a closer look at it, I guess. Wintercress is a very common weed that will grow during the winter. It was blooming. The white buds weren't actually open, but it was pretty much in bloom, and a little bit of sun that would have popped open probably. It's kind of a pretty weed in some ways. If you notice it in your garden, maybe later in the spring, it tends to have just a little taproot and then kind of a rosette of leaves that look a little like watercress, miniature versions of it. And I think it looks kind of cool as that little rosette of leaves, but it'll send up a stalk with these little tiny yellow, tiny white flowers on it. And then these maybe half-inch long, narrow seed heads emerge, which they throw the seeds as they dry out. So it's the kind of weed where you might be picking it and suddenly these seeds are flying at you as you try to pull it out of the ground. That's probably this bittercress or wintercress, which is edible from what I understand. I haven't really tried eating it. Given the name bittercress, it gives you a sense for how it might taste. But it's these weeds like winter. They grow during the winter. They grow, not when it's 5 degrees and, a foot of snow, but weather like this, they are actively growing. And so weather stays mild. They may actually throw some seeds out this month. They're amazingly tough weeds. Another one that also had flower buds wasn't quite in bloom, but again, a little bit of sun, I think it would have opened as groundsel, which blooms yellow. Kind of small flowers, not as miniature as wintergreen, but groundsel just has sort of like a dandelion-like flower, but much tinier, and then kind of a dandelion-like seed head, fluffy white. And those also bloom virtually during the winter. They're also very easy to take out. So both these weeds are not, while they're invasive, they're not hard to get rid of. A little cultivating and then some mulch to hide the ground, which has more seeds in it waiting to germinate, makes all the difference. And so I'm not saying you should go out and do weeding and mulching in your garden today, although you could. But you know, when it's closer to spring, these things, they're not going to make that much progress between now and, you know, and a nice warm day in March. But it, one article I found said that these pods on the wintergreen will throw the seeds about 3 feet, which is a nice radius. And there tend to be just, you know, hundreds of these little plants. If you're not mulching, they'll be growing like crazy in your garden. And one plant, so an average, maybe 600 seeds it can throw. Bigger plants, maybe 1,000 seeds. There are some weeds that have tens of thousands of seeds. So, but you can see how this could get out of hand quickly. You know, you miss weeding that one plant in the spring, and you know it sends out 1,000 seeds to germinate. So, you know, one of the things I have fun with during the winter is just seeing what's growing. And it was kind of fun to see these little wintergreen and groundsel, all the other weeds that I pull out all the time. I don't know, it's fun to see them in bloom, not to mention the dandelions. Also, saw the date plum in Highland Park still has a few plums. These are tiny plums, like raisins. Most of them have been probably picked by people. The birds don't seem to get them yet. They will at some point, because there are some that are higher up where people can't reach. And it's right near the path along the lilacs in Highland Park. And saw a couple hawks. There's a pretty walk through Highland Park. And you know, winter is a time to notice the bark on the trees and you know, look for old birds' nests from last summer that are no longer hidden by leaves. And someone sent me a photo of a little caterpillar. Well, two photos. One of a woolly bear that was crossing a walkway a couple days ago. And woolly bears will freeze in place, and when it thaws, they'll start walking again. That's pretty amazing. So this woolly bear was, you know, on its mission wherever it was going. They'll make a cocoon in the spring and turn into a moth, but during the winter, they just wander around in mild weather. Usually see them in the fall. And then the other caterpillar was probably, I think it was a cutworm, actually, which it looks like a cat. I mean, it is a caterpillar. It's not really a worm. But it is kind of a weird-looking thing. Usually curls up in a C, kind of in your, if you dig it up in your garden. And these are called cutworms because they cut your seedlings off. And drag them underground to consume them. They're kind of gray, I don't know, gray, black, nondescript color, and you know, they're not much to look at, and it's something you don't want to have in your garden, because they can take down a lot of seedlings in the spring of things that you're growing for next year. So there's something to keep your eyes open for, and maybe squish them or cut them in half with the trowel, so they don't wreak more havoc in your garden. So some things are out and growing. My arugula is in a window box, but I left it outside since the fall, and it's still growing. Not growing very much, but it's green. It's kind of remarkable how tough that is. Our kale and Swiss chard are also looking good, basically in winter storage. You know, we go out and cut them as we need them from our garden. So just this mild winter really gives you more time to be outside and maybe see some of these things. You should consider cutting some forsythia in particular, but also maybe some apple branches, and lilacs are harder to force into bloom, but forsythia, pretty easy. Apples, sort of medium in terms of how long it might take for them to bloom indoors. So forsythia, by far the easiest plant to force inside. And ideally, starting now, you should cut a few branches every week, bring them inside, and you'll have forsythia all winter long. It probably forces more easily when you cut it and it's mild out, rather than you know, going out when it's -5 degrees and bringing it indoors. That's quite a temperature differential. It'll probably still bloom, but I can't imagine it's as happy with that transition as going out today. Cut some forsythia from your yard, or check with a friend or neighbor, see if you can cut some from theirs. Most people that have forsythia have plenty of it, and it would probably be happy to have you cut some back. You could put it in a vase, or you could put it in a bucket of water, and maybe toss an aspirin in that water, which will help to keep the water staying clear and cleaner. Then as they get close to blooming, move them into a vase. Probably take, at this point, I don't know, a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks, to have the forsythia bloom. Might take 4 or 5 weeks to get the apple blossom to bloom, which seems like a long time, but then again, you know, it's still mid-January, and 5 weeks from now puts at the end of February. Be kind of nice to have some apple blossoms the end of February. So that's just a guess on when it might bloom. Depends a lot on the type of apple, but crab apples have gorgeous flowers. Doesn't need to be an edible apple tree. You know, pretty much anything that blooms in early spring, you could probably force into bloom. But again, forsythia, by far the easiest. Quince might be fun to try. You can generally see, might be able to see those flower buds on the quince. Bring those in. Those can be very colorful. Some bright reds. So let me know what you end up forcing. And again, it's just a way to do something to look forward to spring, forcing branches. I've done on and off. Some years I won't do any. Some years I'll do a lot. Quite a few years ago for Gardenscape, I probably had 40 varieties of shrubs and trees that I brought in branches. It was an extraordinary number of buckets with tons of branches in each bucket. And quite a few of them bloomed. again, hard to time it for something like the flower show, but fun to do. So look around, see what you have, see what neighbors and friends have, might have a bouquet of, at least forsythia, within a few weeks. I know you'll start to see the forsythia forest branches for sale, even at the grocery store, in probably February, March, and it'll be like $5 for three stems of forsythia, which if you've got a large forsythia, you can probably get a couple hundred stems from it. So, maybe 100. I mean, it's a fast-growing shrub, and you can kind of see the flower buds now. They look different than the leaf buds, which will be shorter. The flower buds are more extended, and you also, with an apple or with a forsythia, you ideally want to avoid the suckers, which are growing straight up. These grow quickly. They have relatively few flowers on them. And so this is kind of an opportunity to be observant and to try to figure out where the flower buds are. You can't see the flower buds really on the apple trees, I don't think. But they do look different on forsythia. And again, just by avoiding the straight suckers, you can... you'll have more flowers per inch of stem, and these stems will be more interesting looking than the straight suckers. So you probably need to cut some of those suckers off, and I'll be cutting them off on my apple trees. I have two apple trees in our backyard, but I'm not going to force those into bloom because, again, many of the suckers have no flowers on them at all, especially the apple trees. Sometimes a forsythia will flower a little bit, those suckers, but... again, they're very spread out, sporadic flowers, and you'll see as you look more closely some really dense areas of flower buds in the general shrub versus the very straight suckers. Now, if you have questions, you can always email me a photo. If you have some weeds blooming, or I went to look for some snowdrops that had won the First in Bloom contest a couple different times when I did that. And unfortunately, someone has, well, unfortunate for the, perhaps for the snowdrops, they're sort of renovating this house, and it's a business, but it looks like a house, and they also added stone. I don't know. It was cinder block foundation. They added sort of a stone facing, I think, to make it look nicer. And that's exactly where these snowdrops were, very close to the foundation. So, and they may have added insulation and things. I don't know. I didn't get a close look because they're actually still working on it. And it may have been still too early for the snowdrops this year just because we haven't had any sun. Again, mild weather may not be warm enough to get the ground, to kind of wake up some of these early bulbs. So I'll go back at some point and check that location and maybe some others looking for snowdrops. I imagine there are some in bloom somewhere around Rochester, and send me a photo if you run into them. We'll be back with the food show, Discover the Finger Lakes this morning, and the grapevine tomorrow. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green. It's SavorLife.com. Have a great day.